There you go.
It's business time.
Honestly, I can't do this. This got me all fucked up right now. I need to get adjusted to him again.
What an intro to the podcast. You guys just missed the absolute butchering by Dylan and Brayden. Dylan just bagged on Brayden for not wearing his blue light blockers, and Brayden was like, okay. And then he said, fuck off. Casual. Definitely casual. I'm not over here. Just get the Flux app on your computer.
Well, these are blue light blockers too. They're just not high quality. What happens to me is I just need to ease myself into it by starting with the yellow and then transitioning over to red in the evening. Going from not wearing them for a month and then just sticking on red glasses, I feel like I'm gonna have a fucking seizure over here or something.
I can't even tell you're wearing yellow because I'm using like the Flux on my computer. So
I'm not wearing yellow right now. I'm just wearing clear blue light blenders. Okay, cool. Again, so
you're like me. I'm wearing blue light blockers.
Yes, exactly.
100%.
I know what you mean though. They're very interesting too.
Are they?
Like when you put them on, yeah, like it's like holy man. And driving with the red ones on is pretty interesting.
Oh, I taught Dylan. So I remember Dylan got really fascinated by this. So I taught Dylan how to change his color screen on his iPhone.
Yeah.
And I remember this wild Dylan out. Like you could change it so it's like you're looking through the blend, like the red lens
on
your phone.
Looks great. Oh, me and Sierra's picture. That's nice. This looks so red to me right now. When I look at this and point it back at there, sometimes I have to do this to see my phone because it's so red. I can't
take it. Yeah, you're like, what's going on? People always yell at me because I have night mode on like 24/7 on my phone. And they're like, why do your pictures look off? Or why is your phone yellow? And I'm like, well, it's in night mode. I was like, I'm on it like, yeah, I'm on probably, it like 10 hours out of my, I'm on like 10, 12 hours out of my day. I was like, don't want to be just hitting my eyes with blue light the whole time.
Yeah. For me, I need to get in the routine first of wearing my yellow through the morning, and then transitioning from yellow all day is like when you put the yellow on in the morning and you have them on all day, it's like a mild transition to the red. But if you go from wearing like nothing to just bang, there's the red. It's like, I can't even fucking see my screen. It trips me out so bad.
So how was everyone's week?
My week was really good. Sure. My week was really good. We had our local bodybuilding show yesterday. So that was really nice. Supplement World was the title sponsor. So we had a big group of us and it was a really good turnout. I even got to do a speech. That was pretty good.
Cool.
I don't know. You doing a speech, I feel like it would just be like an hour long Jordan
Peterson. No, I didn't know. I didn't. No, I was pretty, I was brief. I know the audience. I would do that if someone wanted to come and listen to me, but like not when I don't know if the people like want anything to do with me, I'm not going to just start talking off. No,
for sure. Yeah.
But anyways, it was a really, 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 really fun evening. My training has been really good. I got sick last week after I got run down from that Jay Cutler tour. So I had to take like 5 days off training, which was annoying. But then now I'm like rebounding really nicely. It feels good. So my training has been really good. And I added a couple of really fun new athletes this week that I think are going to be really good. Brayden was actually the one that told me about it when I was at the gym. He was like, hey, you got a really good inquiry. And I was like, me? I did? Where? Perfect. I couldn't wait to get home and open it. Ended up getting her on the roster. So I'll onboard her probably tonight or tomorrow morning. And yeah, other than that, excited to do this podcast because we missed it last week and it's one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, we didn't miss it. We didn't miss it. We did it.
Well, we missed the trifecta.
I missed it.
We missed that guy down there.
And then I missed that the week before. So it's been a minute.
Oh, that's right.
It has.
Right.
It's been a minute since we've all been on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at you guys leaving me alone with each other.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a danger territory, man. I feel sorry that you were left alone with me. I know that much.
Well, you and I are just fat boys. So it's like, so.
Yeah, that's true. We actually, that episode, we literally just bullshitted the whole time and just talked. We didn't talk. Like it was a phone call on a Monday night or a Sunday night.
Like Don and I actually had a really in-depth, like deep conversation. And it's like, oh, there's the fun one. They're both really interesting, and it's really intriguing to have both you guys do separate episodes. Like seeing it happen, it's like, whoa. It's like I remember like different points of time. I'm like, these are completely different, and that's why we all go together.
That's fun. It's super fun.
So how was your week, Coach B?
Good, man. Really, really good. I thrive when I'm busy, and it's competition season now, so I've been busy as hell. I had there was some things this week that I thought one of my athletes that looks very, very good. I thought he was – so I got a message that he was pulling out of his show at 11 days out. He hurt himself a little bit, and frustrations and some things going on, some personal things going on kind of just pushed him to the edge. The injury just kind of pushed him to the edge. So those are always fun ones, especially like the more you do preps and you see how emotional people get and irrational sometimes people get near the end. So just roping them back in and leveling them out is always always an interesting task, but you know what? We got through it, and really excited for the package he's bringing. He's stupid flat right now, but we've hit new lows every day. The last couple of days, he's checking with me daily, a couple times a day. So yeah, that's going good. I onboarded some new athletes as well. I sent out a plan this morning for a new bikini athlete I'm going to be working with. And then actually on Friday, I got a message from somebody that I'm really excited to work with. He won an overall last year, and he kind of was always self-coached and said some really nice things to me and asked if he felt like we'd be a fit. And I was like, well, I mean, kind of here's X, Y, and Z to be a good fit with me. And if you check those boxes, that chances are we'll be a good fit. So yeah, I'm going to actually meet him in person at the show next weekend. And from there, we'll potentially get things fired up for his national qualifier and push for a card potentially. He definitely has the potential to win a card. So I'm excited for that, and just keep banging away, man. You know the drill. It's had a good call with the team this morning. Those are always awesome. And kind of caught up on some back end things with everybody and some more big things rolling forward. I'm just looking forward to this next week. Dylan and I are heading down to Calgary for the show, and Mav's going to be down there. Tyler's obviously going to be down there. He's a couple athletes on stage. Jordan might be coming out to the show. Obviously Kirsten's in Texas, so it's not a bit of a haul for her, but having the whole crew together and just being able to bodybuild again, man. I love going to shows, and there's, I don't know, I made a post on it last week, but on my story, but I just get so fucking excited when show season comes around. Like, that's my jam, man. When I got to be backstage or the days leading up to the show, just looking at athletes, I love that shit. So really excited for that. But yeah, that was a great week.
We weren't here last week, so nobody knows. But I mean, your athlete took home an overall.
Yes, my athlete took home an overall, and we got him set up on his reverse already and kind of planned out his off season and what we're really going to do here. 3 weeks out of that show, we decided to not push for a pro qualifier. Not that I don't think he would have done well, because based on the amount of tissue he has, I actually do think he would have done well, but there's still some body parts that if we want to go pro that he needs to bring up. So we kind of put together a plan in action for that, but I was very, very happy with how things came together with him. You guys obviously kind of seen the whole process and what I was doing there with him. And I know Tyler had some questions for me about how I was going to approach the reverse and kind of spelled that out for him, and same thing on leading into the show. I got to give him some updates and stuff too, but hey, it's always fun peaking athletes, because you never know what the fuck is going to happen, and that's where you better have your thinking cap on. But with Tova, things kind of just went the way that I had expected them to, because I knew his body well enough by that point. We didn't have to do anything crazy or drastic, and he came in full, dry and hard, man. And it was enough for the overall win. It was a really good show, smaller show for sure, but there was a lot of athletes that brought it, so I was happy with that.
He was peeled.
Yeah, he was
peeled.
He was dialed, man. And I don't think there's many people that can touch the amount of tissue that guy carries on his posterior chain above the waist. So
No. His back shots were fucking whack. Yeah. You sent us that video. You sent us a video of the live stream, and I was like, what the fuck? I was like, Jesus.
He's so him and I were having a conversation after the show too, and like, his back used to be like his weakest body part when he was young. And he was like, I solely attribute that to heavy barbell rows and heavy ass deadlifts, and a lot of them for a long time. And I'm like, you know what? I don't disagree, brother. But again, and that's where it comes into kind of building out his next phase for training, right? Like I know I could have him pulling a lot of weight and doing lots of deadlifts and he'd be fine, but it's not going to contribute to the overall package. So that was one of the things I said to him, like, as much as you love deadlifts, at this point, it's not doing anything for your physique or where we need to get it to. It's just creating central fatigue. And we can't have that for what we need to do with your physique. So there's push and pull, right? I mean, sometimes we have to avoid doing the stuff we love because the stuff we love isn't what takes us further.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, this has been a good week. I've actually had 2 client applications. So it's pretty good. So I got a few client calls coming up this week to kind of bag in a few new clients, which would be great. Love having new people on. And a few of them are one is a really interesting hormonal case that I'm really excited about taking on. Actually, it's very in-depth, multiple different hormonal dysfunctions going on. So I kind of like those when I have the time to actually take them on. And with my client load not being too large, it gives me the opportunity to be able to really dig into these cases and really be able to see what I could do for them. And then I got another one he's coming from an N1 type training. And it should be pretty cool to hopefully be able to transition him into some heavy ass shit and some really start to teach him how to train a little bit extra hard in things and really push his body to where it needs to go. Seems like he just wants to learn. So that's pretty cool with things. And the fact that his caloric intake's pretty high already, according to what his questionnaire says, I'm like, ooh, we have a lot of playroom here. I like it. So that should be pretty cool. I'm on a diet break this week. So Mark pulled my cardio out this whole week. He upped all my days to 350 grams of carbs, which was, I've never had, even in my off season with Mark, I had like 270 grams tops on rest day. So I was like, I was so unprepared for that on Friday when he said that. And I was like, oh, go to the rice.
You're feeling good right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm starving. I can tell you, I hit a new low like directly the day after the first day of the diet break, which just so happened to be a rest day. So being able to, I got a lot of energy off that, got a lot of steps in that day, to truly be honest, because I was feeling really good. So it's my first time doing a diet break. So I'm kind of reverse engineering what Mark's doing, mm-hmm. and kind of seeing how he approached it, why he went with the values that he went with that in terms of the carb intake. And things like that. So I kind of like being able to dig deeper into that. And training's going well overall. I mean, I'm still down a few, weight's kind of stalling. So I'm hitting like metabolic adaptations pretty quickly, even with cardio being added and diet coming down. But I know we're going to have to keep pulling just a little bit. Mark said goal is low 170s. So I'm assuming 168 would probably be where I would think I would like to probably be, that right where we kind of started at, 2 years ago. I would love to be in that. I would love to be able to look at those photos that I have from two years ago and be able to see, hey, this is what 167 looked like. This is what 167 looks like now. That'd be pretty cool. Cause I think I can look way more shredded at 167 now than I could then. So things are going good, man. I can't complain. I get more food this week. I'm like, I'm supercharged, man. I'm good.
You know what? I just thought about something that I wanted to mention when I was talking about how my week went. I had a couple scenarios and it started actually at the tail end of last week. And then it continued into this week. So I had some athletes reach out to me to hire me. And on 3 occasions, it was athletes who wanted me to take over like the final stage of their prep. One of them was 2 weeks out. One of them was 6 weeks out. Another one of them was 5 weeks out. And basically, I don't want to go into a long ass rant here, but one of them had reached out to me a year ago to work with me. And he had said he was going to work with me and then ghosted me. And then I reached out to him again. We never spoke. And all of a sudden he reaches out to me 6 weeks from the show, tells me everything's messed up. He's way behind. He feels extremely unhealthy. And he thinks his coach has a very unhealthy approach to doing things. So kind of felt some things out And yeah, sure enough, definitely unhealthy. But where I'm going with this is people need to start realizing what they're doing. Like, you know what I mean? This is literally why we do what we do. And like I don't want to be the guy that just fixes people at the tail end of prep, because like none of us are magicians. You know what I mean? And it actually bothered me to the point that I was like upset. And I'm like, I'm not upset because you didn't hire me, but I'm extremely upset that you put yourself in a position to do some asinine bullshit with drugs or whatever it is that you felt was going to get your physique way ahead. And then you realized that isn't going to get your physique ahead, but it fucked you up. Now you're going to come to me to fix you. Does that make sense to you guys? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure. And it just, anyways, so anybody listening to this, don't come to me at 4 weeks out to fix you and put you on stage if you decided to do something absolutely crazy. Cause I'll tell you.
Yeah, right, come now. To me. Come to me.
It actually worked out really well.
I
had a call with one of them this morning and it worked out really well. And I love when athletes do this where they're actually receptive to honest criticism and feedback. Cause I had him send me pictures. I had him send me his diet and his drugs and everything like that. And I just said, listen, dude, there is no way in hell you're getting on stage in 3 weeks actually looking good. Your inflammation levels are very high. You can see it in your physique. And I said, quite frankly, not only do I think you should pull back and not do a show in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months, I think you should actually probably do a show in a year or a year and a half. And we're talking about a dude that has been, he just did a show and is prepping for another show and wanted to get on stage at a national qualifier in 5 weeks' time. And that's hard to hear as an athlete, but he was so receptive to it, heard it all. And now we're going to do things the right way. And that stuff gets me fired up. You know what I mean? But it's very few and far between that you have a conversation with an athlete, because they are very emotional at that stage. And they just want to do this. Right. So anyways, I don't know why I just went on that side tangent, but it was something that came in my mind and it was just eating me alive.
Can happen. So yeah, that's something that I've seen a few bits and I've had discussions with Dylan about, and it's not just prep clients too. It's any type of client, really.
Yeah.
Some people are more receptive to harsh feedback and some aren't. And it just, they don't understand it until, I feel like I've been in this situation now, and I've had a few conversations even today in my check-ins. It's until like the coach really gets ticked off sometimes that, you know, when you see these habits things, and we watch social media, right? Like we know what goes on.
Yeah.
Like Dylan and I were talking about this the other day, like literally yesterday, because I was talking about someone and we were talking about seeing their social media, and it's just like they're self-sabotaging themselves. And like, at what point, I was like, at what point do I make it apparent that I see this shit and that it's causing you to fuck up? I'm like, so I went off. I had a little very long check-in with this person today, let's just say, because that's what sometimes it takes. Like it gets to that point. So I fully understand like where you're coming from and things like that.
Well, like sometimes I don't even look at it as harsh. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just honesty.
Yeah.
And yeah, the truth, it's cliche as fuck to say, but the truth hurts sometimes. And if you can't accept the truth sometimes, well, you're living in a world of delusion and it's not going to get you anywhere good.
Yeah, no, you're right. I also in the last like 3 months have been really like applying pressure even more. I would say like slowly, incrementally, I've been doing it as I joined Braden's team. It's just like really trying to shape my roster into, you know, the people that really want to hang, so to speak. And, you know, I did have some people that decided that they wanted to move on just for various reasons, but I'm very happy that it's been good, because, you know, even today it's like, I'm just saying what I believe to be true. So like, this is what I think. I think that you're not actually doing it. You think you're doing it and you're being very harsh on yourself because you know you're not doing it deep down. And then that's what causes you to have like neurotic behavior about it. So if you just put all that energy into doing it, you'd be much better off, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's what Mark and I actually talked about in our podcast that's coming out on Thursday. We were literally talking about how everything that I've done over the last 2 years, and I don't want to take any more time because we're going to answer questions. But over the last 2 years, it's literally just been an execute thing. I think a lot of people don't understand that. It's just like what's written is what's executed. Like, don't think about, like, I think people think too hard when it comes to health and fitness. people think way too hard.
100%.
And I think
especially when you have a coach,
you're literally paying us to think.
Yeah,
that's what I don't want. Like Braden has to do the thinking for me. You know, it's like, of course I share my inputs and like things that are working, I think, or things that are for sure causing problems I'll bring up if I think there's one, but it's like, that's why I've outsourced that problem. Cause I have my own craziness to deal with. So Braden has to deal with, that's why he's paid to deal with it. So when a client does that, it's like, just do what it is. You know, like sometimes I don't wake up, like I was 300 pounds and obese. I don't every morning look in the mirror and think, oh, wow, this is fucking amazing. Like, I'm here now. This is my favorite spot ever. Some days I have my own body image issues. But, you know, I just trust that Braden doesn't want to get me worse looking than I already look. And if I've trusted in his skills, then just do what is asked of me and to the best of my ability. And that'll be the best outcome anyway. Yep. For everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So, questions.
Let's dive in.
Questions. Who wants to ask the first one? Is it me? Am I asking the first one?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Relationships, all of them, and how to manage the stressors of prep to benefit said athlete. So we'll take, I want to take this as how to manage. I'd rather take this as not how to manage relationship and prep. I'd rather just take this how do you guys manage relationships in bodybuilding? Because I think no matter in prep or if you're a serious bodybuilder, it's going to be the same thing a bit more to the extreme when it comes to prep. But in off season, if someone's taking it very seriously, it's going to be nearly the same. So
can I take a spin off of it and speak about prep?
Yes, you can. Yes, you absolutely can.
Okay. So for me, a big one, and I say this to a lot of my athletes, conversations need to be had. Because everyone thinks about let's be honest. A lot of people take cheat meals in their off season, right? Is it benefiting your physique a ton when you're eating 4,000 calories a day? No. Is it holding you back a ton? You know what? It's probably not, but at the same time, it's definitely not helping you move forward. But where is there an opportunity to utilize that? Well, for your relationship, you know what I mean? Because I have a wife. We all, you know what I mean? Like a lot of us have significant others. And if for 52 weeks a year, you're sitting there and you're saying, nope, I'm not doing that. Well, I mean, that's a pretty miserable life sometimes for a significant other. Now, you also need a significant other to realize your goals and help support you for those goals. But I think the off season is a time to give back a little bit for that.
Yep.
So instead of going and picking up McDonald's on your way home from a leg day when you're told to have a cheat meal, ask your wife, ask your husband, what do they want to do for supper? And just do what they want to do. And if they want to make something or you want to have a date night at home and cook something up together, do it, right? Like value that time. I'm also a very big proponent in the idea that society has put too much value around fucking food and having fun being involved with food. You know what I mean? Like, why couldn't Kim and I go to the movies and watch a movie and do that together without having popcorn? Well, every time you think of a movie, popcorn comes to mind, right? Or like, there's just so many different activities that you try to associate with food. And it's like, there's so much shit you can do without food. But with that being said, again, in an off season, that's an opportunity for you to go to Mother's Day brunch. That's an opportunity for you to make supper for your dad on Father's Day. Or you know what I mean? Or celebrate your wife or significant other's birthday with them and take them for a nice dinner. Now, on prep, the way to manage it is literally to be open and communicate beforehand. Because if you don't say a damn thing and all of a sudden you're six weeks out and you're starving and you're lean and you're tired and you've been bottling shit up for 15, 16, 17 weeks before that, it's literally going to take one thing to break you to the point that you could do something that will ruin your relationship. Now, it's a lot of stress and strain on significant others to go through a prep if somebody's actually prepping properly. And by properly, I mean like fully indulging themselves and throwing themselves into a prep. It's a lot, you know what I mean? Like doing an hour of cardio a day, being at the gym for 2 hours, posing for another 30 minutes, sometimes people have significant others packing their meals. People are working 12-hour days sometimes. Like that is a lot of shit to do, but it has to be done if you actually want to be successful in this sport. So the day that that prep starts or before that prep actually starts, somebody needs to sit down with their significant other or just the people that are they're having relationships with. It might even be friends and be like, hey, these are my 5 months. These are my 6 months. This is what I truly want to do. There's going to be some sacrifices made on my end, but tell me what I can do to lessen the burden on you or allow this to continue the way that we've been doing this. And there will be sacrifices, but I just want to make sure that we're on the same page so that when push comes to shove and I am in the trenches and it comes time that like, I just need to worry about me and I need to be a little bit selfish. You're okay with that because come the end of that prep, and when that off season is back, I'll give you as much as I can so that, you know what I mean? And I think it also comes from the support system where they also need to realize that you're doing this for you. And they need to be fully involved in that process to realize, okay, and I'm not saying they have to make your meals for you and they have to take your check-in picks and this and that. If you're prepping, that's a you thing. You don't dump that on somebody else. If they're willing to help, that's amazing. And there are a lot of blessings for significant others and friends that help a ton of people. It takes a village at the end of the day, but the communication, that's my number one thing. And I'll leave it at this because you guys probably want to chime in too. Communication. Every time I see issues stem with people's preps, always, 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 the number one culprit is lack of communication.
I don't really have much to add to that, to be honest. That was very good.
Yeah, I would just say, I would just have a few things. I really can't give advice for it because I'm single and 24. And I live a ultimate bodybuilding lifestyle where I do nothing but bodybuild, coach, podcast, and work. But I just say I've seen this before and I've seen it happen. I've heard about things. I would say don't get into a relationship when you're prepping. That's something that I would say, like, if you need to manage something, that's something that I would fully avoid. Because there's a lot of expectations there within those. I know you boys, we probably have all been in relationships. The first few months are not typically there's very high expectations with things and doing things and going out places.
Yeah, it's hard to court and prep at the same time is a simple way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really think
you have so much energy in a day. And when a lot of that energy is being expelled for one single purpose, trying to find energy for other things is really tough.
Once you're the most extroverted person on earth, anytime I prepped, I was just like dove into a hole. I had no energy for going on dates or anything like that.
I think something that goes unnoticed too, and I'll kind of bring it towards like us as coaches too, is like you kind of have to find a certain person type thing too, because we all kind of experience it at different levels right now. We're all very busy. Mm-hmm. Like it's not a lot, like it's quality time is the important factor for us. Like for a lot of people, they don't understand that. Like people have asked me, hey, what type of girl do you need? I'm like, I literally need someone who's actually into bodybuilding. Like legitimately, because they understand. Like I coach, they probably have a coach themselves and they understand probably what that coach does. And it's like understanding what we do and how much we actually work for clients is we spend a lot of our time even, and that's not even including us actually bodybuilding, right? Like the amount of time that you guys spend coaching and the amount of times, like even with work and things, like my weekends are covered coaching for a majority of it. So it's like, there's only so much time in a day. There. So just understanding that from getting into a relationship, like setting expectations kind of from the beginning, like communicating, hey, this is kind of the lifestyle I live. Like you said, it kind of all comes back to the communication aspect of like, this is how I live. This is what my job is. Like, this is what I get paid to do. And this is what allows me to give you, like, if it turns into that serious of a thing, it gives me like the ability to, you know, when we need to take a vacation or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And pay it back to you. And yeah. I think you made a good point about that where, hey, once things go into off season, it's more of a time to do things. Obviously, well, like,
but with that, I speak from, and I say this 100% from my heart, because I speak from experience with it. And I've mentioned it to you in the very first podcast I ever did with you, Anthony, like I'm pretty damn lucky that I still have the woman in my life that I do, because I got to a point with my bodybuilding that I became so fucking obsessed with it. It literally was the only thing in my life I cared about. And I had been with this girl for many, many years prior to that. And it got to the point where literally all I cared about was bodybuilding. I did nothing. I literally went to the gym. I worked at a gym. So I'd go to the gym at 5 a.m. I'd work 12 to 14 hours on a gym floor. I'd take a break for 2 hours in the afternoon. I'd work out. Everything revolved around meals. We'd hang out before bed. And quite frankly, we wouldn't really hang out because it would be late. She would go to bed and I had more meals to get in. So I'd go to the kitchen and sit there by myself eating my meals. And it was like clockwork. And there was no, you know what I mean? Like for me, I sit down and I look back at it. And I'm like, how did you not break during that whole thing? And like, she was close to her tipping point. We've had conversations about it. And I don't think it needs to be that way is the moral of the story. Yep. You can be a very good bodybuilder and you can be hardcore through the process without sacrificing your relationships. Like I said, okay, maybe you're not a guy that wants to have cheat meals because you think it's not going to get you where you want to be. I don't disagree with that. I've had lots of athletes tell me they're not taking cheat meals. I've told athletes they're not taking cheat meals. Find a way to do other things. Doesn't always need to be revolved around food.
Exactly. Yep. All right. All right. Who's got the next? Great. Who's got the next one?
Here, I'll take this one.
Sure.
The next one is, do you think that you can heal a functional issue and remain doing weight training just because they had consulted with a naturopath and it was told to them that wouldn't be the case?
There's caveats to this.
Yeah.
And the one thing is how severe. Now, I believe not everyone should just stop training, right? I think that's a way to make things a lot worse. Actually, as much as we say training is a stressor, you have to look at what's actually causing the hormonal dysfunction. So a lot of these things are really not. I actually wrote a post about this. I said the root cause of a lot of things is not actually the overtraining and the cardio and things like that. Like those things are what exacerbate the root. The root is something else, more so probably in your life than your lifestyle choices or in terms of just, I mean, it could be anything, right? It's mainly lifestyle choices, I would say, is probably what it is, and not using proper supplementation and things like that. But I don't find that training is the root. Overtraining. Now, if you're in these hormonal cases, no, you should not be training 5 to 6 days a week in the gym. It's an absolute idiocracy thing to be doing that. I don't think I personally don't think that should be a thing. I know Dylan's fixed plenty of cases though, with other certain situations where he's definitely used some hard training, but we wouldn't be hard training for 5-6 days out of the week. It would be like 3 days of hard training, like in those things. I've brought down people into
two. Volume, heavy work.
Yeah, I brought down people into 2 days. That's the least I've gone with training. Why? Because I also find that, like I said, if you take away, there's also a mental aspect to taking away the gym to someone, and that could just cause a stress response out of the wazoo for someone. And we all know the stress just makes every single functional case a million times worse and a million times improvable, unfixable. So in my opinion, there should be training no matter what, whether it's 2 days, 3 days. I would probably go strength-based training. Nothing more than 10 reps, if I'm truly being honest. Keep things kind of heavy, RIR, like 3-4 RIR in the tank. Like I don't think there's – you could still go heavy. You could still progress pretty well on 3-4 RIR. Obviously, progression is going to be slower, and I'm not fully focusing on progressions in the gym, but keeping it to like 3 sessions, hit a muscle group each week is enough to at least maintain the muscle that you have on your frame and be able to give you the benefits of resistance training without tiptoeing that line of overdoing it.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Go ahead. It depends on which functional issue, obviously, you know, but like, I do want to speculate, and that's all this is a speculation, but based on who asked the question and knowing that they did a prep and who did it anyway, I think that they have amenorrhea, because they always respond to my story about when I talk about clients that have had, she's always very curious about how long it's taken. And for her, she's not seeing these results. So she's very concerned that she's going to have to quit training. And I'm like, honestly, I've never had an amenorrhea case that I had to pull training entirely. Like, I don't know what else is going on in the other areas of your kind of allostatic stress load. But like Anthony said, that's usually involving lifestyle and kind of all the stresses that encompass living. And that's your food matched to the training. Cause like, I think everyone thinks of these things as separate entities way too much. And I think that's potentially why I end up getting some interesting results and interesting ideas, is because I'm viewing them as one thing. Like, I never make decisions really in conjunction away from one another. Like, it's always like, where's the person's nutrition? And then where is their nutrition capacity? And then where's their training capacity, and where do I want to take it? And everything moves in like a symbiosis type of way, you know?
So I agree with everything you guys have said. And I think most of the time you can definitely continue training, reducing frequency, keeping intensity high, but keeping in mind like where you're actually going with intensity, probably not going failure on every set, 3-4 RIR, like you said, Anthony. Sometimes I'll even go to lower than 10 reps for some cases, depending on what's going on, like really more strength-based, like 3-6 reps for even some things, just to really hold on to strength and stuff. And I mean, at that point, you're not really trying to change the physique a ton. Like you said, it might be more mental getting in the gym. Mm-hmm. However, and this is where the disagreeable me will add something in that I believe is valuable. There are situations that you need to remove training. There 100% are, and I will say that. At somebody with completely fucked up cortisol patterning, and they're a very neurotic individual who doesn't know how to handle with their stress, who doesn't know how to deal with their daily stressors. And you work on it. Obviously you deal with things on a day-to-day basis and try to help them. But I don't care who you are, you can't get everybody to stop mentally stressing on their, you can't reduce perceived stressors from everybody. A lot of people will just be very high stress individuals that mentally are really high strung no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at a bucket of stress, and no matter what you do, and there's going to be people like this. Now, a lot of times we can work with it and put in modalities to fix it. But there's going to be people that just can't really remove that perceived stress in their life from, whether it's a job, whether they're a legal advisor or something with crazy high demands for their job or whatever, right? Like a fucking surgeon. I can't tell you, there's a lot of different things. That stress probably can't be removed. Sometimes it's just other things that people just don't know how to deal with, mental stressors. So if that is continually being poured into the bucket and you're not taking away some of these other stressors that you actually can control, well, there's a lot of situations where you probably will not fix that, because there's just the bucket's overfilling. Whereas if you look at the allostatic load and you look at that bucket and where everything is, if you pull down training and you take out training completely, and some of these stressors are still coming in, the perceived stressors that this person just really can't get a full grasp on, you're probably going to be able to fix some of that stuff, because you've taken some of the stressors away enough that the bucket's not overflowing. And at that point, okay, maybe it's a 6-week pullback, an 8-week pullback, couple months, whatever. Yes, it sucks, but at least now you have a framework to work with, because the stress is not causing these issues as much. And then you'll start to see changes. And then maybe through that time, because their stress and their cortisol patterning starts to naturally fix itself through some other things and supplementation you might be doing, they actually realize they do have a better way to manage their perceived stressors. And so now they start to get a grasp on that. Now we bring in a couple days a week training again. Then we increase the frequency again, right? Like, it's just, I guess that's one situation that I came to mind, because I have worked with really fucked up cortisol patterning before. And I feel like there are some of those situations where you have to remove that training. Yep. So, and again, somebody might be very, very good at helping people deal with perceived stressors and figuring out ways to remove the mental stressors and not have to remove that. Great. I do think there are situations that you probably will have to. It's less common though, 100%.
Yeah, to actually rebuttal my opinion saying everyone can train, I've actually to actually get someone whose cortisol pattern is fucked up. I did have them actually not train for a whole month.
Yeah.
I had them not train for a whole month. Actually, we saw more benefits. I was actually thinking about running that even again soon. Because she actually surrendered to the process. The thing is, if you do that, you have to fully understand, hey, this is what it's for. Like, yeah. it's not a punishment. A lot of people would see that as a punishment.
Yeah.
And it's a no. I can't take anything else away until you go see like a therapist, or you go talk with someone about your stressors or your anxiety, or we fix like those things that are more type of neurotic issues and may even be neurotransmitter issues.
Yeah.
Right. Like, these things take time, and 2 months comparatively to if we keep on training, it could be, I mean, how long, like I always tell people, how long did it take you to get here?
Yeah.
Right. And look at what's happened in that time. What's been one constant thing? We've always trained, and you've trained a lot. So you got to bring that down, or even just take that away and just stick to walks. And that will honestly, so I could say that actually helped, because we actually did get her cycle regular after that month off.
Yeah, there you go. Right. And like, I'm actually dealing with a case right now where her cortisol patterning was completely flipped, and I didn't remove her training entirely because I knew that probably would be too much of a stressor for her. Mm-hmm. But when we retest and as we watch where things are going, I mean, we went to two times a week training. Things seemed to be trending okay. We went to three. But I mean, when we get bloods done, when we get a Dutch test done again, if cortisol patterning is still completely out of whack, to me, it says there's something else I have to change, because clearly the stress management tools we've put into play are not doing the job. We have to drop the hammer for stress management tools now. And the physical activity is a large stressor.
Yep, exactly. Good.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I think that people that have some functional issues and maybe some neuroticism about their fitness would benefit from trying to think about it like in a philosophical sense, something like you want to long for training if it was to go away, not fiend for it. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Because if you're fiending for it, that means you've just replaced some other sneaky problem you haven't dealt with training or tracking your macros or weighing yourself and all these things. And then these dragons are popping out everywhere, and it makes it very hard to heal like that. Mm-hmm. It's not peaceful to the body at all, in my opinion.
Nope. I say it's the body. The body follows the mind. I've said this more times. I have seen this, and I talked with Dylan about this more times than not this whole week, about certain things and about ways that I see these things kind of play out. And some of the cases that I have where people are severely downregulated, I'm like, it starts with where your mind is. And I actually asked a very important question today on my check-in. I asked him, and I discussed this with Dylan actually before I implemented this. It's, are you where you want to be? Right. And you really find out what's truly holding someone back, and that can dig into further. So I don't want to get down that route, but that was just something that I noted, because from Dylan, like talking with Dylan, is that it's something that you need to see, because that can really give you the answer to a lot of your issues. When I asked that question, I could see what the issues are and pinpoint kind of exactly where these causes are coming from and what's actually stopping them, right? Rather than, and what's stressing them. So,
All right, my turn, I guess, eh?
Yep, your turn.
All right, so I have one. If big strength increases on cycle for a female, what happens when stopping?
I don't have experience with females in PED, so I feel like I should not be inclined to answer something that I do not know.
Fair.
Can you re-ask the question one more time?
Yeah, sorry. So if, and this was the female asking this, they put in brackets at the end. So if a female has very large strength increases on cycle, what happens when stopping?
I think that's the same thing as what would happen to a male, which is intra-individual. I don't know, since exposure to enhancement myself, my strength doesn't really climb that much in the off season. You know, like it did definitely, but like we're talking like two. I've been training for a long time, so it's like, you know, 2.5% or one rep, and you do you win, but like it's not quite the same thing as when you're on enhancement. I think expecting the question is almost phrased as if there's a problem with the rate of gain not being the same when you stop ahead of time. It's like, well, that's obvious.
Yeah.
So you should consider why you're using it and what it's doing and why it's doing what it's doing. That make, you know, it kind of like shows the lack of understanding if you're already using, to me, you know, even a general understanding, because it's like, well, of course it's not going to be the same, especially with certain drugs that you might use with females. A lot of them are ones that produce really rapid strength gains in females as a side effect, you know, so like specifically, you know, so it's like, geez, that's anyway. So I think that it's just individual. And then I think there's some people that literally just get strong all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have some clients that just dredge forward. They just are relentlessly kind of going. And then their body fat response with enhancement just rapidly changes. Where like their strength kind of actually is always just slightly going up. But then as the enhancement comes, the physique just gets kind of harder and denser. And then when they come out, the physique gets softer. Weight doesn't even change that rapidly as you get under more enhancements with females, but the look does. That's my experience anyway. I don't know if Braden has something to add to that.
Yeah, I have a little bit to add, and again, just this is my kind of philosophy behind it all, and some things I've noticed. People have this predisposition to believe that when you come off of gear, you should suddenly get weaker. Okay, sure, if you're taking a bunch of Anadrol, a drug that's literally going to make you fucking very strong very quick, for sure. I don't fuck with Anadrol. I don't use Anadrol. I literally have not put it in an athlete in probably 5 years.
Damn, so. I thought you wanted someone to look like a water buffalo.
and it, I mean, there's application for sure. Maybe some fullness before a show. But again, I have other drugs I would like to use for that. That's a little better than Anadrol, whatever.
Yeah.
That's completely besides the point. But my train of thought is everyone believes that just because you're coming off a cycle, you're going to lose strength. So with that, let's break down that idea. You are assuming that you are literally getting stronger just because of drugs. The drugs are making you stronger is what you're saying. Not your muscles are getting stronger because they were recovering faster and you were allowing them to get stronger. So here's my train of thought. And I've said this to many athletes and I've watched it happen because I've had lots of athletes say, I always get weaker off cycle. I always get weaker off cycle. And my response to them is, you're not fucking allowed. You better not get weaker when you come off cycle. And they're like, but it always will. And I'm like, watch. And the fact of the matter is, you have the muscle. You literally have built the muscle to control that load. If you could push 4 plates on a hammer strength machine last week, and you stopped your cycle this week, and you trained just as intense, I mean, for the most part, the muscle is there. It's going to be just as strong. You're not taking a shot of test today and all of a sudden it says you're strong, I'm gonna move 2.5 pounds on that, you know what I mean? It's all about recovery. So well, what happens when we pull the gear out? Your recovery takes a hit, so maybe your volume needs to be adjusted. And I actually do things a little bit different than some people here. A lot of times when I pick people on cycle, I'll actually pull their food back. Well, that sounds backwards. Well, why? Because their strength is going to climb. They're going on to a cycle. Their recovery is improved. Their body composition is now going to improve and will be in a better spot for the first part of the cycle. But here's the caveat. A lot of times when I take people off cycle, I'll actually push food up. Well, I'm going to get fat.
Keep the strength.
Well, I'm going to get fat. Well, yeah, you're probably going to put on a little bit more body fat than if you were on a bunch of enhancements, but that's okay because we can do a cleanup phase or a health phase or a mini diet in a little bit here. And we're going into a health phase period, actually, if you're coming off gear, but we can do a mini diet and take care of this body fat. That's a little bit of body fat you put on. But if you lose strength coming off a cycle, you are literally giving yourself a recipe to lose the tissue that you just built.
Oh, I agree with all of that. Cause I was more so exactly. So look, I didn't say get weaker because first exposure strength went up. Well, then it stayed up. Like when I came to you in my health phase, all of the strength I got under Justin stayed. Yep. I didn't go down. I slowly, relentlessly moved that up.
Yep.
And then now you added exposure and the relentlessness of that up is just faster and much larger.
It's a mental.
You know, So there's two things going on. I look at it like very simply, as Dante said. It's like, as guys would go through cycles, it's like, well, how come he's bigger? Oh, because he did all these specific drugs, people would say, and he'd be like, no, it's because that guy used to do naturally 70-pound dumbbells on that little incline bench, and now he does 125, and his pecs are much bigger because of it. And what did that? Well, because we titrated drugs in. And then in the same breath, that's also assuming that strength outrightly is the only thing that builds muscle, which I'm certainly not concerned or convinced, rather, sorry, that that's the case. Because then I look at another simple approach to, which is like kind of like a John Meadows approach, which is like, just put a lot of stimulus on the muscle and recover it properly and do it relentlessly for a very long time, as best as you can, and it will grow. You know, and it's like, that's obviously very too simple because everyone's different and they have different needs. But when you think about it in theory, I do think that, you know, I think some of my issue in the past was just patience. It's like, you know, like I've really only been training progressively very hard for like 3 years. You know, like, yes, I have a lot of fitness experience and a lot of knowledge and all these things, but like personally giving like my all most of the time when I can, you know, which is a lot, you know, 85, 90% of the time, maybe more at certain periods, you know, into everything I have, my physique does change. It just takes some time. Like it's, if you want to look really good, it's going to take probably like 5 to 8 years, you know, like Braden's been bodybuilding and training for like quite some time, done a few exposures, you know, it's and built a lot of strength, been very relentless on his meals. And that's why he's got the muscle he's got, you know, it takes some time. It's patience game.
Like, again, for me, I was in going back to my thing, like when I went, when my heart shit happened, I was 250 pounds with a lot more muscle, and I was pretty strong at that time. When I came out of the hospital, I was 196 pounds. I haven't ran a blast since then. I've ran TRT since 2018. Mm-hmm. That being said, my stiff leg deadlift is stronger now than it was when I was cranked. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me it's just drugs that makes you strong? And when you come off drugs, you need to get weak? You know what I mean? It's just like, that mindset needs to be lost, because I truly believe a lot of that starts here. A lot of it starts between the ears. And if you can actually find a way, and I'll use the word you said, Dylan, relentlessly, if you can relentlessly train, whether you're on drugs or not on drugs, and you can establish that fucking mindset where you, it's do or die when those weights are in your hand and you fucking are fighting for your reps and you're earning that shit. When you're on drugs or you're not on drugs, it doesn't matter. Just when you're on drugs, you're probably going to progress at a little bit faster rate because your recovery capabilities are improved. You can handle more food a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things that come alongside that, but just because the drugs are pulled out doesn't mean you can't progress now and you have to regress. If that was the case, everyone would be consistently regressing, because a lot of the times we're not on drugs for, you know what I mean? Like we're not always on drugs and then coming off for a very brief stint, or shouldn't be, and then back on drugs. You need to be able to progress and hold progress while you're not on drugs, because you need to be able to do those phases multiple times a year.
Can I push and pull? It's like a trench war. It's fought over. You don't just run all the way through. You didn't storm Normandy, or none of these things are done in just one wave as a rule. You push, hold the line, and try not relentlessly to move backwards, then push forward in your opportunities. That's a really simple way of looking at it. And I think what you're saying is getting away from a fixed mindset. So it's not like drugs equals strong, or strong equals drugs, or reps equals drugs, or food equals fat, or like all these inequations. It's like, no, that's nonsense. There's a bunch of moving parts, and a good coach will manage those moving parts to you individually. And if you trust them, you should just execute.
I mean, I guess I can kind of speak, because you brought the natty thing up. I mean, I'm 25 pounds down. And I'm stronger than I was at 200.
There you go.
Right. It's just like, it all started. I discussed this the other day. I was like, I remember when we dropped, I discussed this on the other episode, I'm pretty sure, with one of you guys. We dropped my carbs like a significant amount when we started this. And I remember the first thing that came into my head was, I'm going to lose my leverages on my presses. Well, guess what? Next 3 weeks, my presses fucking sucked. And I had a hard conversation with myself, like, okay, I'm not progressing. What the fuck am I doing wrong? And it's not a food thing. It's not, well, it kind of was a recovery thing, because I wasn't taking my sleep. Like, I was still in kind of that heavy phase and I still felt like shit. But it was a, It was a mindset thing. It's all a mind game. Like it truly is. People are going to get so annoyed with me because I keep saying this, but it is like, it's just like give yourself no excuses. What excuse do you have to not progress? Yep. Like the fact that you're not on drugs, like, is that really what it is? Because I can guarantee you, we can look at a ton of guys that do this shit naturally and they progress all year round.
Yep.
No matter what phase they're in, because they have that relentless drive to want to progress.
Yep.
And so if you do that, what you should do, here you go. Key tip. What does your logbook say? All right. You come off drugs. What does your logbook say? And then that's it. Follow what the book says. You're going to be, no matter what, yes. no matter what phase you're in, you're going to be tired. You're going to be hungry. There's going to be points of times you're going to fucking hate things. Even when you're in a diet phase, like this is the same exact thing. You're going to hate, you're going to get weaker at some point, obviously down the line, but for most times it doesn't happen till near the end. And the one thing you could just do is just shut up and not listen to what your mind's saying and listen to what that logbook says.
Yep.
I bet if you listen to what that logbook says and you just focus on beating those numbers, you'll keep your strength. You'll keep that muscle that you have. And then your next exposure will be even better.
Yep.
So yeah.
Agreed.
Dunzo. Fucking natty. I don't want to hear.
Can I say the next question just because my phone died and I remember the two questions off the top of my head and then I'm going to forget them.
Yes.
You guys can answer these ones. So I actually had two different people ask about creatine. So one of them said, do you need to take creatine on your rest days as well or just on training days? And then the other question was, it almost was a statement, but we'll address it as a question. It said, creatine and caffeine is a no-no. So you guys can dive into those. And if I want to add anything, I will. But so do you need to take creatine on your rest days as well as training days or just training days or all days? And then can you, I'm going to assume the question is, can you take caffeine with creatine?
Well, number one, yes, take it every single day. There's a saturation point that you had to get to, right? And obviously there's this whole loaded thing and you can load creatine, but you still have to take it every day, right? To even get the saturation point. So I say, yes, you should be taking it every single day. I mean, it's a pretty cheap supplement to take every day. It's not like it's a non-stim pre-workout that do I have to take a non-stim pre-workout on rest days? No. You probably get a good amount of benefits actually from that. You should be taking it every single day. I honestly don't get the creatine and caffeine thing. This might be more of a dumb question here, but I mean, I have people take it. Some people like to take it with their, pre-workout. Some people like to take it intra-workout. I take it intra-workout. So I don't think there's a no-no.
There's no problem with taking creatine and caffeine. Yeah.
Not that I know of, but just take it every day. It's good for you. I'm gonna go on a rant here. Why the fuck does everyone have so many goddamn questions about creatine, man? I'm telling you what, it's the most researched goddamn supplement on the market. Literally, there's hundreds, thousands of studies on creatine. It is probably the safest
coming back thing. 100 plus years.
Yes. And it's the safest thing to fucking take. Like Jesus Christ, why every single time I see this on someone's Q&A, I just fucking laugh. It's like, just take fucking 5 grams every day and there you go. You'll get the benefits from it and you'll enjoy your life. It doesn't have a major impact. Maybe not, but for most people, it does help with strength performance. Take it every day.
There's also some benefits to it cognitively. I think it's the way these questions are framed sometimes, and I don't mean this offensively, I mean this in a learning opportunity. Like, to be honest, creatine's a loaded system, so it doesn't really matter. If you're going to take it on your training days, do it relentlessly for like 4 years and train very hard, but put like 8 grams or 7 or 6 in your pre-workout. If you want to do it every day, take 3 to 5, depending on how fast you want to be saturated and how large you are, and do it relentlessly every day. You see, this relentless portion is never leaving. it doesn't really matter how you set up the little specific intricacies on a minute by minute basis. It's how you spread out these general tasks over time. And the creatine and caffeine thing, okay, so there is some research showing that it messes with the adenosine response a little bit of the caffeine, which is something that you would want. However, I think from an evolutionary perspective, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard, because it's like, really, so you tell me that I can't eat a steak and coffee and go do some that shit. It's like, yeah, right. People have been doing that forever. Those are like two of the oldest foods that people would have been really seeking, like wealth-seeking people would eat those.
Wait,
foods.
You're telling me when I get a steak and eggs at IHOP, I'm doing something wrong? You think I'm shutting down my gains, bro?
Yeah, what? No. God, so anyway,
that's like such a 0.0000001% difference that it doesn't.
That's why it doesn't matter, because it's all.
Here's my thought with that.
Oh, let's get the expert. That's good.
So if you add creatine in, there's going to be a benefit.
Yep.
If you add caffeine in, there's going to be a benefit.
Yeah.
Combined benefit of the two of those is a lot greater than the negative benefit that the caffeine is having on the creatine. And I mean, again, do you have to do them together? No. Are they both going to work together? Yes. Can it have a small effect on adenosine triphosphate? Yes, for sure. But it's absolutely negligible. If you think you're going to be able to sit down and say, I didn't make progress because I was taking caffeine with my creatine,
yeah,
I'm going to tell you that is absolute dog shit. You're looking for excuses as to why you
didn't. Also, you know,
I apologize to this person who asked this question, because I know it sounds like we're making fun of you. We're not making fun of you. I'm just making fun of the amount of creatine questions I do see, and how many people question this supplement. And it's just like, why do you guys keep questioning this supplement?
I think, I don't think we're making fun of this person. I think we're basically speaking to a very big over-exaggeration in the industry when you see this stuff, because people just want to take these little small facts and blow them up to be.
Ingo, that's what I was trying to say. It's very annoying when I know what the person's done. They went and saw some study that someone posted a link of and they clicked it. And I post links to studies, so I'm just as guilty of this. But that's fair enough, because I view that as like a learning opportunity, because when people do that for me, and if I'm interested in what they're doing, I actually read the damn thing instead of just like going to the conclusion and it says creatine with X amount per kilogram of caffeine in this population, which they didn't even look up the population of people to see if they're in this. It might have been like elderly people at a nursing home. They didn't even look, didn't consider to even check if that's their population of people that it might apply to. Then they move on and it says, creates a significant downregulation of the adenosine triphosphate release over time, blah, blah, blah. And it's like a significant response in a control group study can be like 0.016% of a non-conjunct number. It doesn't even matter. You know, it's like, it's so small, but in a study, technically it's significant. So then people go on TikTok and make these videos where it's like, it's a significant response. Well, no, it's not. It's not at all. Anyway, like that's where like learning the information correctly is key.
And then my thoughts on the creatine loading creatine on rest days and training days. Again, it goes back, I think, to Dylan's point too. If you're consistent with taking creatine on training days, more than likely you are, over time, it's building up in your body, mm-hmm. and you're going to have stores that are loaded. And by taking one day off between 4 days of training, so 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, you're not going to suddenly, after one day, be completely depleted of your creatine and need to load it. So I believe
if you have red meat in your diet plan, which you should. So
yeah, I believe opposite to Anthony. And I'm not arguing you in this. I don't have my athletes take it on rest days. I have my athletes take it on training days. So a lot of my athletes will take 10 grams. My smaller females sometimes will take 5 grams. But I mean, at the end of the day, I have them take it on training days. I know I don't do a loading phase because I know, okay, maybe we started in week one. By week six, I guarantee you that their creatine stores are loaded and we're good to go. And I mean, you take 2 days off a week, you're still going to be loaded.
Yeah, I don't actually take it on rest days. I'm just a bit too lazy with it. So I'll do what Dylan said. I'll just put like 8 grams in my intro workout and I'll just be like, okay.
Yeah, that's what I do too, honestly, because I'm mixing all my stuff up.
I'm not mixing anything.
I'm not my intro and that's it.
Boom. Yeah, I'm not mixing anything on my rest day. So I'm like, what am I going to do? Put this in my water?
I'm just like, bro.
And on rest day,
dude, I'd be bulk suppling. I get like a spoon. So bulk subs doesn't even, my protein doesn't even have like a scooper with it. And I'm like, well, this is pointless. So I had to get like one of my spoons that I have to use. And it's just like,
on rest
days, let's fill this spoon with creatine and see how much I get in my grams. And I'm just like, here we go. 12 grams. Oops. All right. Well, I guess I'm having 12 grams of creatine today.
That's all right. On rest days, I eat like 3 to 4 ounces of raw meat in the morning. So I'm getting my stores in there too. So
I don't eat red meat right now.
What?
Dude, I have 45 grams of fat every day.
Oh yeah, that is pretty low.
Chicken is my fat right now. Basically. every serving of chicken is like 5 grams of fat. I'm having like 160 grams of chicken. I'm like, yeah, I don't get much fats. I'd rather get my fats from eggs right now. I have 3 eggs every single day.
Yeah, that's 3 eggs good.
Without regard. I'm like 3 Vital Farms. Give me them good dark orange fucking yolks, and I know I'm golden.
There you go.
I'm like, I'm good.
Cool. All right. Who's up?
We'll do one more because it's kind of late for me. So we'll do one more. It's 11 o'clock here. Mark's going to kill me. Mark's going to listen to this podcast. He's going to be like, thought this kid was good.
He's shit. No.
One day
either that or your other boss, because you're going to sleep in tomorrow, and then Mark's going to be like, fuck yeah, you slept in. Your boss is going to be like, oh, fuck, you showed up late.
Nah, I don't got to be in work until 8. Dude, I'm good.
Oh, gravy. You still got your 7 hours then, my man.
Yeah, I'm good.
We got another hour of podcast.
Oh, can we do this? Because I think this is a really good one that could go exactly with this and getting really nuanced with things. Or actually, this is a good question. I want to end on this one because I think this is actually really an interesting one. So the stronger I get, the more I feel my lower back is dictating everything. Is this to be expected, or is it a sign I'm doing too much with not enough rest between sessions? And then in parentheses, do you fix this by adding more rest days, or is it time to change split? Been doing PPLR. Dude, I guess I'll answer. Honestly, I'll go first.
Well, can you read it again to me? I need to try to decipher this.
So the stronger I get, the more I feel my lower back is dictating everything. Is this to be expected, or is it a sign I'm doing too much with not enough rest between sessions? And how do you go about fixing this?
So it's kind of impossible to answer that question without seeing the programming. Because what is the volume? What is the actual, how much is the lower back being loaded? Are you loading your lower back with deadlifts on pull days? Are you loading your lower back with RDLs on leg days? Is the volume high on those, right? Are you also doing heavy spine loaded squats? There's, you know what I mean? Like, I would say a lot of it probably comes down to, well, there's a weak link somewhere, whether that's hip flexors, whether that's core, whatever that is, you have to address the weak link. I wouldn't just say, okay, you have to add in a rest day, because quite frankly, it probably could be changing exercise selection within those plans to continue to progress. And if the exercise selection is changed, great. Well, like, we know that you, Anthony, you do RDLs and you do deadlifts in the same block and you're fine and your lower back is pretty much bulletproof. Well, great. Awesome. Perfect. Well, this person probably couldn't handle that, right? And that's fine. How do we fix that? Well, it doesn't mean you have to change your split or even necessarily change your volume. You maybe could change your volume, but exercise selection, really good way to change, really good fix there. Remove the deadlifts from your pull day and swap it with a different exercise.
I would also like to say, with this one, I probably want to see, Dylan,
execution.
Sorry, this is really distracting me. Go to your video, click the drop up menu, go to settings. Go to video settings, and there should be a thing called adjust for low light.
Really?
We're going to interrupt this podcast. What?
Where do you find that? I'll just turn on the light. Just 1 second.
Yeah, that's my
big
point there is, like, And like, I think I know what you were going to say is changing your actual execution, because chances are you're probably arching your back massively in shoulder presses.
Yep. I was about to say,
you're probably going into overextension in glute kickbacks. You're probably going into overextension in deadlifts. You're probably going into overextension in squats, right? If you just keep picking a scab, something is not going to stop bleeding.
Yep. I was about to say, let me look at training videos, because I get a lot of complaints with things, and you guys probably do too, about things like, and they won't send the training video. And I'm like, send me the damn training video. Like, I want to see how you're moving. Right. Because I think exercise selection is obviously number one. I agree with you there. I think that's a main key, right? The only reason I'm able to get away with it is because I only do 2 spinal loading movements a week, and they just so happen to be both my pulls. I don't dumbbell row or anything like that. Like, everything is basically machines for my back in the most part. Everything for legs is machines. Obviously, I did a Smith machine squat today, so that's a little bit of spinal loading near the end, a little bit of a rector. So I'll kind of have to take that into account if we're going to keep that in based upon it. But we've been doing the Roger squat, which does it too anyway, obviously to a lesser extent, but you've been able to do that. And then you also got to look at the recovery capabilities of the person, right? We're not just looking at overall volume and things across the set. We have to look at your habits too and dig into, are you actually getting enough sleep? Are you actually eating enough, right? Like, those things also play. Like, what's your whole program? Like Braden said, we can't really like do it because it revolves around the whole program set to what can you recover from? So obviously look at your exercise selection. What I would do is, if you want to pull, take a video, put it on Instagram or something. And if we see it, like tag us in it or something, we could probably help you real quick. With things, we'll be able to see it. At least I'll do it for free. I don't give a fuck. You could send me a video for this person. I'll gladly take a look at your RDLs or deadlifts, whatever you're doing that's spinal loading in things. But we'll do that and then look at, hey, what's my volume across the board? Take a look at that before adding in a rest day. No reason to add in a rest day. I find a lot of people, I mean, if you're doing push, pull, legs, rest, I'm not particularly a big fan of setting it up push, pull.
I kind of recover very well from that personally.
I find that you should be setting it up as push, pull off, legs off. But that might just be me being more biased, but I also know how hard to set that up. I know how hard you have to train to be PPRLR.
I've personally seen people progress amazingly on push-pull legs rest, push-pull legs rest. I've seen people progress amazingly on push-pull rest, legs rest.
Yep.
And I mean, I think either one, but again, it comes down to recovery capabilities of an individual. Yep. And yep. So
exercise
forth.
Selection, I mean, all the things we talked about.
100%. It all comes back down to that.
Yep.
Honestly, a lot of females I have on push-pull legs.
Yeah.
Do you really? That's interesting.
Can handle more volume across the week.
I might need to dig further into my programming here.
The ones that can recover well. And
the ones that can recover well. Yep. Yeah, that's the key, right? Recover well, sleep, get a lot of sleep. And also, if you're having lower back stuff, I always say also, not just looking at exercise selection, but making sure if you're really invested into training and bodybuilding, getting body work done. That's one thing that's probably also helped me be able to do what I do in terms of pulling twice a week is every 3 weeks I go see my massage therapist
and work on your damn mobility and stability. If you can stabilize your spine with your pelvis and you have ability to maximize your hip flexion, etc., you're going to have a safer low back.
Yep.
And I mean that wholeheartedly. And one more point on the whole rest day thing. This question was biased around the low back being taking over in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the low back is the problem. Adding a rest day rests everything. It's not like if you feel like your biceps are recovering fine, if you feel like your traps are recovering fine, if you feel like your quads are recovering fine, chances are it's not that you're overtraining and it's not a recovery issue. It's more so another issue. And there's a kink in the chain somewhere that you need to address. So address that first. Don't just toss a rest day in. Could a rest day be what you need and it fixes it for sure? Is it probably the actual best way to fix that? probably not. There's probably 30 things you should look at first before just tossing a rest day in as a band-aid.
Yep. 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 Exactly. So is that a good Q&A, guys? Did we have a good?
Yeah,
we had a good one. Anything any boys want to leave us with? Anything you guys have on your minds and you want to say before we go?
No, I'm cool. We'll
ravine.
Are you able to do one next week, Dale? What's your plans with coming back from Calgary? Because I think I'll be home in time for sure. Are you at the airport or something, Dale?
I don't want to be.
Okay. All right. Sounds like we're gonna find a way.
Sounds like
I haven't booked my shit yet, but like I'm not gonna be at the airport at Sunday night. No, I want to go home Monday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So does that mean that you two are gonna be on the same camera? Is that what I'm hearing?
We could, absolutely.
Oh. Could be. Or I'll be on my laptop, one of the two. But
that's interesting. Make sure to bring your mic. Bring your mic. Don't abuse. Don't leave the opportunity. I'm kidding. I don't give a fuck if you're on your mic.
We can just do the old what's that Disney movie with the two dogs sharing a piece of spaghetti? We'll both just be.
As you can't. The funny part is you can't even see it on your screen because your goddamn background just hides everything. So it's just like
my beautiful background.
You're just kissing the mountain over in the corner, bro. Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys enjoyed these episodes, I believe next week is a educational episode. Maybe we'll do the insulin episode.
I'm gonna have a new tattoo next week and I'm really excited about that.
Oh, it's gonna be on. Yeah. As we're like not watch as people aren't watching like a video, like if they're watching us right now, yeah. They're like, eh, what's he doing?
What's that guy doing?
I'll have one in 2 weeks, 10 days, actually.
Hey.
So I'll also have one too. So Dylan, you just need to get one.
Yeah, I do need to get one, I guess.
Just get a wolf. Just get like a wolf all over here.
Be pretty bold.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cool like that.
I like that.
But if you guys did enjoy this episode, all we ask is subscribe to the podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Go over to your Instagram, share us on your Instagram story if you guys are listening. If you guys are watching, we are doing YouTube. We have committed to the YouTubes. You guys could see us actually talk throughout these things. We find that that's actually better suited for us because we have some great interactions that people can't see whenever we're talking. So I think it's great. You can find Braden's contact information pretty easily if you go look at the look at the video. It's like right in your face. Meanwhile, Dylan and I have nice, solid white backgrounds. Dylan's got a cool lion's head. So I guess I gotta get some. You think I would have like Fuad's like Ace of Spades podcast like banner like back here? Like you think I would have something or like Symbiote Strength banner? I need to get that made. Can't let Miller Lee just own my podcast. It's okay though. But if you guys did enjoy it, definitely share it. Definitely share it with people. Hopefully we educated you enough. We had some good questions. Few educational questions, but we'll make sure to have either an educational episode next week or just depending on how the boys feel, we might even just do a Fat Boys episode because we didn't really get to do all three of us last time. So we may just run the course with that and then do an educational episode when we're all three, hopefully in a very secure spot and can actually dive into something fairly well and we won't be rushing things. So definitely wait until next week. As you guys know, first off, Morphogen. Use code SPADA for 10% off all supplements. This week's guest episode is featuring my coach, Mark Tominek. We actually go into our whole coach-client relationship, our two-year journey. I literally have asked him, hey, what was your thought process through different phases of my growth phase and then different phases of my fat loss phase so far? So you guys are really going to get an in-depth kind of view over why he made decisions the way he did, what he was looking at. And what was from his perspective and what it was from my perspective. So you're going to be able to get some cool views looking into what a coach-client relationship, a very successful, at least in my opinion, coach-client relationship is actually like. And I use myself as the example because I couldn't find a better way to kind of communicate this. So be ready for that one. It's going to be on YouTube and Apple, Spotify as well. So thank you guys for listening to this episode.
Thanks, guys.
Wait, are we?
See you guys later.
Where are we? What are we on this day? Are we Coach's Corner? I guess we're Coach's Corner. Coach's Corner Q&A. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, so thanks, guys, for listening to Coach's Corner on the Anticipated Podcast.